Hi, it's Alan Carrington again, and this time I'm in Miami, Florida, which is just one step short of Hawaii. I've been down here for a weekend of meetings with, basically I've been having a weekend off in a sort of a way, but I happen to have met a gentleman from Guatemala, and he's more than a gentleman, he's become a good friend, and his name is Ricardo, and I'm not going to even try the rest, Ricardo. All I'm going to say is you're from Guatemala, you are in fact a rector of a university. Now, for the guys in Australia who are not Anglicans, because the rector in an Anglican church is the local minister, but a rector in Guatemala is in fact a president of a university. Ricardo, introduce yourself in that incredible accent, that and the way you say your name, I've got no hope in Australian of presenting that. So tell me who you are, tell me the university that you are now with, but what I'm really interested in is the university. For the first, we're going to do more than one episode, guys, so the first one we're going to talk about what you did, and then we're going to talk about why you changed to this new role. Ricardo, tell us who you are, what your university is now, and then introduce us to what you did in the university in another country.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ricardo Antillon. I'm from Guatemala, and now I'm rector of San Pablo University. It's a very small university in Guatemala City, and let me tell you, I'm a physicist. Also, I am also a musician. And, well, I'm working in education since I was 21 years old. Now I'm 57.
Okay, now, a physicist who is a musician, I know you must have an incredible story. You and someone's told me that you've got quite a colourful past. Where did you come from? You've always been in Guatemala?
No, Alan. I started traveling since I was 21 years old. I studied applied physics at Hebrew University. Then I went to Princeton in Israel.
Israel?
At Hebrew University.
Do you know Hebrew?
Just a little bit.
Just a little. Whoa.
Yeah. Then I moved to Princeton to study testing science.
Okay.
And then I went to the university, National University in Mexico, to learn how to build nuclear reactors.
Okay.
Yes. Then I decided to change my life because I needed to learn music. I want to become a composer, so I start studying music at the university, and I graduated as a musician when I was 32 years old.
What instrument?
Piano.
Piano.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I decided to study more about environmental studies than quality of higher education. I went to Castle University, and I went to Taiwan as well to study education.
Right.
Then I come back to Guatemala. I finished my PhD in education, and I started a journey working as an educator.
Right.
Based on my experience lived in when I was studying, when I start to be a student, full of frustrations because I used to have professors that will act like a television set in front of me, just giving me information. And I became a guy with a lot of knowledge, and I didn't know what to do with that knowledge after the end of the careers.
Okay.
So I understand that the educational system must be changed in order to get from the student the passion to learn.
Okay.
Let's go to your question.
You
asked me about the university I was in Honduras.
Yeah. Honduras. How did you get to Honduras? You're in Guatemala.
Well, it was very interesting. I was working as an assistant of the president of the Valle University in Guatemala City.
Right.
I was prepared to be a rector or a president of that university.
A president.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, the rector ends his functions, and he left in Guatemala. He left the position.
Yeah.
And the board of directors of the university decided to change everyone. So I left the university with no possibilities of job.
Okay.
And I received a call from the board of directors of Universidad Tecnológica in Honduras. They invited me to help the university as an advisor in order to improve the quality of the institution.
What year was this?
Well, that was 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Okay. I went to Honduras, and 2 months later, I was nominated as a rector of a university. Very impressive.
Yes.
And, well, in that time, so I received a university with 6,000 students, a university with no labs.
No labs.
No labs, no technology, no...
It's a private university.
It's a private institution. And the most important thing, I discovered that the teachers, the professors, all the group of professionals that were teaching at this institution did not have passion. They don't have... They weren't with that.
These guys are Latinos, aren't they?
Well, they're professionals, of course.
Yeah, but perfect. But they're from... Well, aren't they what they call... Do you call them Latinos like you do in Latin America?
Yes.
They are some of the most passionate people I've ever met.
Let me tell you, one thing is a passion for life, and the other is a passion for learning.
So it's the passion for learning we're talking
yes.
about.
Yes. I saw in that time the same behavior of the normal teacher.
Yep.
People who comes to the board, to the class, start talking, even joking, answering a few questions, and that's it, day by day. And after that, a quiz, an exam, and the thing goes again to the same circle.
Yep.
Well, we understand that we cannot continue in that strategy or with that methodology. So I invited them to change the way of teaching. I invite them to invite the students to learn with passion, to discover knowledge, to discover what to learn according to not only their needs, their own passion. People has something to do with passion. It's very normal to know what do I like to do. When you use that quality and you invite the students to develop knowledge through the passion, you're done because he is learning.
Yeah, we call that one of the biggest issues in Australia, New Zealand, all across the West, is how to engage the student. How do you get the student engaged? You're describing exactly that. So what happened? Did you get a good response from the teachers?
Let me explain you first one point. Every university in our countries use this SAT tests, the admission test, in order to have a guarantee of what they're receiving.
Yep.
We normally look for students with the best level, students that are very good students, and you bring them in the university because they're good.
Right.
Okay? Well, this is perfectly good as well, but there's one factor missing. The factor of, again, passion, the will of the student. Are they entering the university because they want to learn? Are they committed with all they have to do along all the curriculum to end the career? Do that exam, for example, guarantee the institution that there's not going to be desertion?
Desertion,
exactly.
Desertion, meaning that they're going to drop out.
Exactly, drop out. Okay. What I discovered was that even after the tests, we had desertion. Many, many students...
They pass the test.
They pass the test, they start, and they drop up a few months later or a few years later without ending the career.
Ending the track.
And when you ask them, why do they leave the university? It's a common issue that they say, no, I left my job, my parents passed away, I don't have financial support. Those are excuses. But really, the reason we discover, after talking with them as friends, mm-hmm. we discover that they don't believe in themselves.
Wow, okay.
Okay, we discover that the reason, the true reason of that desertion was that they were convinced that they will never learn math. They are
it's a self-image thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
So we discover that we have to work on that area before. Not.
So would you call that pastoral care? How did you do it?
Well, we talk with them.
Yeah.
There is a relation between the professor and the student, but not a relation only in the level of the knowledge or the class curriculum. They have to go deeper into the personality, deeper into what he thinks, whatever he believes.
Did you have trouble with your teachers trying to grapple with that?
Yes, of course, because it is difficult to open minds.
Yeah.
Yes, normally we have professors that understand teaching just in one way and they will never change.
Okay.
But if you want to change the system of education at university level or in other levels, the first thing you have to change is the mentality of the teacher.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you will never get changes. So okay. We start as well changing mentality of these professors, making them to realize that they are advisors, they are facilitators. Of course, they can provide knowledge, but the most important thing here is that they have the responsibility to bring the students to the position where he can show that he achieves the knowledge. So the student has to learn. You have to bring them to the understanding of the benefits of learning first, not to the knowledge itself. You don't want a student that will act like a recorder. Okay? You understand what I'm saying?
Just repeat facts.
Yes. Yeah. You don't get anything from that. But when you are able to switch on the passion in the student, because he is motivated to learn, he becomes a different student. Let me explain. A normal student, when I'm saying a normal student, is willing to pass the class.
Yep.
And after that, when he gets the minimum grade, he is happy because he passed the class.
Yep.
Well, it happens to me as well when I was young. I was that kind of student that was very happy having approval of all the classes with a minimum score.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's mediocrity.
Yep.
Because you're celebrating that you were passing a course, but really what you're celebrating is you have mediocrity in your life.
Yep.
Let me tell you more.
I really do want you to tell me more. Okay. We're nearly up to 15 minutes here.
Okay.
We're going to do more than one episode here. The next episode we're going to talk about, what I want you to do is tell me how you changed the faculty.
Yeah, okay.
We'll take a little bit of time with that. Then tell me how you got to 18,000. And then finally, in that episode, I want to talk about why you changed and went to where you are today.
Okay.
And started again.
Let's go to questions.
Yeah, I've been talking to Ricardo, who is a president of a university now in Guatemala, and we're going to come back in the next episode. Thank you very much.